As I had shared, coming up right after the chapel, we'll talk a little bit more about Sister Wilhelmina and incorruptibles. I'm just sharing a little bit of some of my own encounters and what I know about it. It's an incredible phenomenon. We live in a special time. We really, really do. And as I was saying, I really believe God allows this because it shows you He is in control of everything. He's above the laws of nature. He can suspend them if He wants to. So your cancer's not bigger than God. I tell you that all the time. Those degenerative diseases you're fighting, those back problems, those health problems, those financial problems, those relationship problems, those legal problems, those problems at work can easily be resolved. They can easily be resolved. And I think all we need to do is look at some of these incredible witnesses, right, that we've seen. I just love it. Hey, coming up, Preston Alex is going to be joining me in a moment. He's going to pray at the chapel with me. He's also going to be sharing his story. He and his family loaded up the van and made their way down to witness this. But yeah. before we begin, I want to go ahead and just ask you to pray for the Holy Father. 2 years ago, the Holy Father, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or not, he had part of his colon removed to treat diverticulitis. And yesterday, of course, he had surgery to correct a hernia that had developed. And Catholic News Agency was reporting that the same surgeon did both operations, that the Pope seems to be recovering well. Ashley Narona stopped by just a little while ago and said that the Holy Father's going to be in the hospital probably 5 to 7 more days and is expected to actually be maintaining a full schedule after he gets out. Not allowed to lift heavy things, but pray for him. Pray for his recovery. I really do believe that in a special way he suffers for the church and for you and I. I'm in studio today with Preston Alex. I said he'll be praying with me, and then right afterwards we will hear his story. A pretty amazing one to go down and say Philomena. Or Philomena. Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina.
Yeah, no
That's
kidding.
That's right.
So what was that like? Great experience?
Yeah, we'll talk about it more after the chaplet, but yeah, we saw the news stories break, and within 24 hours, we were there. And it was about an 8-hour drive nonstop, but with 8 kids, it turned into about 10 hours. So
that's a long.
That's one way.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, we can go into more about
a lot
what
of
we
penance on that
there.
Trip too.
It was great. Lots of prayer. It was a wonderful experience.
That's great. Well, anything you want to pray for as we get ready to start?
Yeah, I'll just pray for my family and their future vocations and my children.
That sounds good. I pray for the same thing every day, you know, for your children, for their spouses, future spouses, and for their vocations, for sure. Let's pray for those trying to have children, those looking for future spouses, and for all those who'll be calling in as well. Just a quick answer prayer here. I receive this from a person saying, hey, thank you for your prayers. I ask that I would be healed from my left shoulder arthritis. Drew, it gives me terrible pain. And I also ask for prayers about having an MRI. With all the medical expenses that I have, I was concerned. Well, I just want to share with you, and I am praising God for this. He said, for these answered prayers, I am now able to move my left shoulder and arm starting last night, totally pain-free. I went to the doctor today who told me that I do not need the MRI and doesn't really have an explanation for why the pain disappeared. Well, I do, and I am grateful, and I want to send thanks to all who prayed for me. Well, you got it, Joe. Thank you so much for taking time to write that. I said God can make those pains disappear. If you are suffering, offer them up as well. Give them to God, okay? Allow the Lord to use it. Another person says, hey, I wrote and just want to give you a quick update. The doctor gave me good news. I was concerned and praying for cancer. He looked at my CT and no cancer. This happened after the 3 p.m. hour of Divine Mercy Chaplet that we prayed. So I am praising God for his goodness and mercy, Lori. Thank you, Lori. Well, let's pray. We'll pray for you and for your needs. Maggie, anything you want to join us with before we start?
Yes, I have a couple of intentions in-house here. Our colleague Christian asked us to pray for his son, Miguel Antonio, that he might recover quickly and fully from his sickness and that the Lord would heal him of any affliction regarding breathing difficulties. Also, our colleague Jim didn't ask me to pray for this, but he and Aaron have been looking for a place to live. And so I want to ask for St. Joseph's intercession that the right house or the right living arrangements would come their way. And while we're on that, I'll tack that on for Joe and I as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. And we'll continue to pray. I know you would like to have a child, so we'll
pray
for
yes.
Pray for those twins, Maggie.
Oh my gosh. Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Triplets. Let's get it done early.
Get her done.
Optimum. Right. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll pray for you. And I saw Dan Axe. If you could see in the studio, one day we're going to stream the show so you'll be able to see us. He showed me a picture of, was it Damian Schmidt's son? You can hear me? Yeah. He says his face was all cut up. One of my colleagues here, it looks like he took a fall or had some sort of head trauma.
Oh, no.
So we'll lift him up. I couldn't speak to him through the glass here, but he just showed me the picture. And I said, all right, well, we'll pray for that. All right, let's pray for you now, too. We'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. This comes from Helen. She is praying with us in Minneapolis. Hi, Helen. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. You are so special.
Oh, you're sweet.
I thank God for you every day that you have the graces to continue your work.
Thank you
but
so
Drew,
much.
Drew, I have this little baby I had called earlier on when she was pregnant, mm-hmm. and the baby has heart conditions.
Okay.
And the ultrasound showed that it would have to have like 3 surgeries. Well, anyway, the baby has been born, and they thought they'd have to do a surgery immediately, which they didn't do. Wow. It's almost 2 weeks old, and they have them hooked up, and they're deciding which surgery to do first. And the mother stays there day and night, and the father goes there to sleep with them at night. And, ugh, their finances, and this baby is precious.
Well, let's pray for
and
that
I
baby.
And I ask Jesus to please, please heal this baby.
Helen, you've got a generous heart. You really do. You're a beautiful woman, and I'm so grateful. I know that God loves you very much, but he loves his baby too. And I know he hears your prayers. So
you
keep praying for that baby. We're going to join you right now because we're all connected here, right? We're all connected in prayer, and I'm grateful for your kind words too. But Lord, I just give you this baby. We call upon, again, Bishop Sheen and St. Paczynski, two great saints who have healed these children, Gerard Magella and John Ebola and all these other saints. I'll call you into the mix. Shouldn't really be calling on Saint Sister Wilhelmina yet, but why not? Sister, we ask your intercession. Her calls is not open, but you know we're all part of the communion of saints, and we just ask for special intercession that this baby can make a remarkable, remarkable recovery to the amazement both of the doctors and of the parents. And I give you that child's heart, and I just ask for all those children right now who are sick and suffering, those with cancer, those in the NICUs and PICUs, and those parents who are really suffering in so many different ways. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world. whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from St. Cloud, Minnesota. Rosemary's praying with us there. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I would like prayers for my grandson, Aaron, who has cerebral palsy and dystonia, which is uncontrollable jerky movements. I ask for healing of this dystonia and recent heart issues. Thank you.
Amen to that. We'll add these heart issues again to the mix, and we will certainly pray for this ailment. Lord, I pray that from this moment forward, as we begin to say this prayer, that those conditions become mitigated and ultimately alleviated. I don't know what your time frame is, Lord, but I give you this grandchild of hers, and I just trust Rosemary's baby to you. And I just, Lord, give you once again the needs, the wants, the intentions, desires of all united with me, those who may not get through on the phones, you know, our physical ailments. We pray for those spiritual graces that we need to carry these crosses as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Kathy in Chicago, let me go to Maggie, the other side of the glass here. She's taking your intentions off of Twitter. And please follow us on our social media. You can go to at Drew Mariani Show and leave your intentions. Maggie will bring it to you here. We're going to try to get it up on our website too, here at Relevant. But Maggie, what's coming in?
Drew, we get so many prayer requests every day, and some days it tears at me, the fact that I can't voice all of these concerns. So I just want to first off say, I want to pray for any intentions that are not mentioned on air, that the Lord would hear them. Lisa Marie wrote to us and said, please pray for the protection of our grandchildren who are in a very bad situation. Please pray for Annie, Lily, and JoJo. Richard wrote to us and said, prayers for my wife Janet's back. She's in severe back pain right now, right before her 40th birthday getaway. Thanks. Carol wrote to us and said, prayers for Diana, who has a rift in her family. I prayed the Mary Undoer of Knots novena when there was a rift between my sisters and I over the vaccine, and everything has been healed. Thank you, Jesus. Charlene wrote to us and said, I'm praying for support from St. Joseph to assist me in finding a buyer for my friend's house in Highland Park, California. They know about my devotion to St. Joseph and the Holy Spirit, and they've blessed me with this in the past. So, Jesus, we trust in you. Anna wrote to us and said, for my grandmother, Arminda Perez, who's not feeling well. She's 105 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
105.
Yeah. Joseph wrote to us and said, I'd like to pray for my daughter and all her eighth grade class who graduate today from Our Lady of Good Counsel School in Morristown, New Jersey, wishing them Godspeed in all their future endeavors, trusting in Jesus. Nancy said, please pray for my husband, Norm, to have a successful cortisone shot tomorrow. He's in extreme pain and needs prayers. And lastly, this one was really beautiful. Eric says, today, I'd like to pray for all of the faithful priests and sisters of the world.
Wow, beautiful prayer.
I thought that was beautiful.
They need our prayers. Satan hates them. You know, as you were listening to so many of these intentions, God's time's not our time, too. It just came to me as we were praying there that, you know, If you're struggling, be patient on God. Right? Just wait on him and see what happens. All right? Don't give up. God resolves things. I love the intention for the undoer of knots. Because, you know, you're in the storm. You don't think this will ever get resolved. And then with retrospect, you see how things ultimately do change. I would like to also pray for the founder of the Christian Broadcast Network, Pat Robertson. If you're not aware, he died at the age of 93 years of age. He's a legendary Christian broadcaster, and we're not sure what his cause of death was. I don't think they made that announcement, but he founded the 700 Club, the ACLJ, a whole number of other things. So we will lift up his soul and his family and all those who mourn. Kathy in Chicago, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I love your program.
Thanks.
And I love what you do. Drew, I feel guilty praying for myself, but I'm going to ask. I lost my job after 30 years. I also have health issues. I have diabetes. I have a pacemaker, and I'm overweight. And I really need to, like, get myself in shape so that I can stay living and preach God's word and that. So I feel very guilty praying for myself, but I really do need it.
Kathy, look, I don't feel guilty. Really, I mean, you're called to what the scripture tells you, right? He says, knock and the door will be open, seek, you'll find, ask, you'll receive. The Lord wants us to ask. Yeah, he wants to. There's so many of those parables where, you know, the widow would come knocking again and again at the judge's door. I mean, if you think of all these different things, be persistent in your prayer. It's okay to pray for yourself. Pray also just to submit to whatever God's will is. I mean, maybe the Lord wants you to endure a little bit longer, but the greater, the more persistent our prayer is, the greater, the more persistent our faith and confidence in God is, the more abundantly you're going to receive. That's what St. Albert the Great had said, you know, and God's full of compassion. He will not fail you. Trust me on that. Don't fear what's going to happen tomorrow, because the same God who cares for you today is going to care for you tomorrow and every day. All right. I'm going to pray for you now that your prayers are answered. You get a great job. Your health improves. And Lord, I just thank you for the humility of this beautiful woman. And I just ask you to hear her prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Annette. She is in Staten Island, New York. Hi, Annette. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm calling. Thank you, Drew, for everything. We pray for you all every day, really.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I value and appreciate that, Annette. Grateful.
Oh, you're welcome. Please. I'm calling for my granddaughter, Mary Grace. She's 13 years old. Mm. She was suddenly stricken with a neuromuscular disease in January. She was a very active girl, an actress, a singer, a dancer. And it started with burning, and then she couldn't walk. So she has no feeling from her waist down. And she's been in six hospitals in New York area and Boston. And now, for the last 9 weeks, she's been suffering with severe migraines.
Oh, no.
That she passes out, loses her eyesight very bad.
Wow.
The neurologist, they won't give her MRIs. We've been begging for it. She's just been in the hospital again 2 weeks ago. And they just did an EEG, so they will not do an MRI because they said she had one in January. Now we just came from the pediatrician's office hoping that he would do it, and he says he's not able to do an MRI, you know, give a script for MRI. It has to come from a neurologist. We don't know where to turn anymore.
Wow.
She's so sick. She's so suffering sad. With anxiety now, panic attacks, depression. She was healthy. She's not like her friends anymore. She now can walk. She couldn't walk before. She still has no feeling, but she can walk. But now it's all starting again. The burning is starting today. And that's how it started last time, where she couldn't walk.
I'm really sorry.
Please pray for her.
I will, Annette. I'm so sorry. And as a grandmother, this is difficult for you. And what a bizarre series of events to wash over somebody so vibrant, so full of life. Let's bring her to the Lord. I remember Father Chris Alar, I was having a conversation with him. He's one of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, and he lost somebody he loved by suicide. And he says, you know, if somebody's going through difficult times, they don't understand what's going on. If you're experiencing depression or anxiety or suffering, if you're grieving, if you can't find the healing you look, he says, rely on the Lord. Just, you know, put your trust in him. That's going to do more than anything. And he says, you know, the divine mercy, he said, can restore your life to manageability. And then make a decision to entrust your will, your life, everything around you to both the loving care and the protection of God. And, you know, apply those principles to your life and see what God does. And I, right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pray in a particular way for complete healing. I will entrust her to the Lord. You know, sometimes it's dark before the dawn, right? It gets darker sometimes. Darkest before the dawn. We'll just pray for whatever the Lord's asking your family to go through right now. And Maggie, you can open your mic and share that. Were you suggesting in a prayer, Sarah?
I was just thinking maybe they should call upon the intercession of Junipero Serra, because he walked up and down the coastline of California, you know, just maybe for intercession, for help walking.
Right. Well, let's do that right now. We're going to turn to him along with all the saints. And Lord, I just pray for healing. I pray for miracles today. I do this every day. And I just thank you for your mercy. I believe in it. And I pray for those who are in these impossible and difficult situations that see no way out, have no answers, that you'll illuminate their path and bring that healing. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Martha is praying with us in Lakewood Ranch, Florida. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Drew. God bless you and all everyone there at Relevant Radio.
Thanks.
I'm calling for prayers for my sister's grandson, Eli, who was diagnosed yesterday with autism. Just praying for miracle healing and for all those children and their parents who suffer with autism. I'm also praying for my friend who lost her son to a hit and run. Oh. And now is facing many challenges resolving his finances. He was 45 years old.
Wow.
And lastly, praying for my elderly friend, Rose, who is dealing with moving from her apartment, and she's just dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety that is causing her health issues.
All right, well, let's pray for you right now, Martha. I'm going to add you to the list here. And as you're talking to, I mean, these horrible tragedies that befall people, I want to pray for anyone who's lost a loved one by suicide, and also for those who are dealing with drug addiction. Coming up after the chapel a little later today, we're going to speak to a priest who has said he's buried more people under 40 this past year than he has over 40. And that's due to suicide and due to drug addiction, to drugs, period. We're going to add also to your intentions here, Carlos, who's in Los Angeles. Carlos, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew and Maggie. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I just want to pray... you guys can pray for my daughter. She's 12 years old. She's very depressed.
Wow.
She lost her sister that she was very close to. And now she lost her grandma that she was very close to also. And she's not in the best living arrangements. So I also want to pray for her mother's conversion and her boyfriend and the mother's boyfriend's conversion as well. He doesn't believe in the Lord. And for my alcoholism, I've been suffering too much, and I can't seem to shake it, and I need to be the father that she needs so bad right now.
Oh, Carlos. Yeah, my heart goes out to you. I want you to stay and listen to Father, and feel free to join our conversation at the top of the hour, too, but we're going to pray for you. I want you to know personally, and I mean this with every ounce of my being, that addiction can be broken, and it can be overcome. My own father struggled with alcoholism. And he always wanted to be the best father he could. And I know you have a heart. He loved us. And I know how much you love your daughter. Let's pray for that liberty, that freedom that you are seeking right now, so you can be the father to your daughter. We'll pray for her. We'll pray for the other aspects of your relationship. And Lord, I give you this man who just loves his family and is concerned about his 12-year-old daughter, depressed and suffered great loss. I pray for those who mourned. I pray for those, Lord, who are struggling with anxiety and depression. Lord, I pray for this man here and for all those addicted, that they can be liberated. You can allow circumstances, events, or just your divine touch to bring the healing they need. And I give you Carlos and Martha and everyone who's united with me in prayer as we turn to you now with trust, and we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for
us. Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá.
Pray for us.
Saint Junipero Serra.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for
all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Send me your answer prayers. I know God hears these prayers. Drew@relevantradio.com, and let's continue to pray for one another. When we come back, if you're a little weak in your faith and you're wondering, you know, is God in control? Maybe you're wondering where he is. You're going to love the story. Preston Alex is in the studio with me. He encountered something that few ever get to see, and he'll share his story when we return.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Blast from the past, a little Three Dog Night there. Good afternoon. Good to be back with you. I'm Drew Mariani. Hey, let me throw this out to you. I don't know if you've read the story about Sister Wilhelmina yet, the story of this nun is still making the rounds. Thousands of visitors are still descending upon the Abbey of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, in a place called Gower, Missouri, about 40 miles straight north of Kansas City. If you've been there, would love to hear about your own experience. Preston Alex is going to be in the studio with me. We're going to get his take on this as well. You can get in to share your story if you've made that journey. I know thousands of people have been doing that. The number's 888-914-9149. Let me give you just a quick thumbnail, a little background on Sister's story. She founded this abbey at the age of 70 back in 1995, right? you say, well, I'm getting up there in age. What am I going to do? People are looking for retirement. God's just beginning to use this lady, right? At the age of 70, it's a pretty amazing story. She had been part of another convent in Baltimore for years, and her family started the first Black Catholic high school founded west of the Mississippi River, and she was part of that first graduating class. She was a St. Louis native and petitioned at 14 years old to enter a convent in Baltimore, but she was told to wait. And then she finally entered in 45, she basically dedicated most of her life to teaching inner city youth and advocating civil rights. So what a great patron, right? What a great intercessor we're going to have. She even attended Martin Luther King Jr.'s funeral, and she met his widow, Coretta Scott King. But she had disagreements with the convent, with the leadership after Vatican II because of the changes that they introduced, including getting rid of the habit. And she heard God calling her to start a new convent. And she originally established it in Scranton, Pennsylvania, but then was invited by Bishop Finn, then Bishop of Kansas City, St. Joseph, to set up there. And she accepted the invitation. As I said, at 70 years of age, she did that. Today, the nuns of the Abbey have gained incredible fame. They're known for their beautiful singing. They have four albums out, and they have topped the Billboard Classic charts, and there's been nothing like this. But what has really put them on the radar was the fact that her body has recently been found incorrupt, and what a story it is. One of my colleagues here, he's our chief financial officer. His name is Preston Alex. He went down to see this for himself. Well, not for himself. He and his family went down there and you loaded I'm assuming the van up.
The big van, yeah.
How many of you are in it? 10 of you in the van?
Actually 12 of us. 12 so my mom came with and our family friend, Geraldine Owen, who took some fantastic pictures. So if you have not read about this and not know what's going on right now, we post an article at relevantradio.com. It's our top article right now. And then we have tons of pictures. We talked to some of the volunteers there. They had that have lived there their whole lives that had just some great insights into what's happening there. And one of my favorites, he mentioned God has a sense of humor to have this happen in the show me state. You know,
yeah, so
that's
true.
it's just a miracle and upon miracles about so many different things that he said and that he saw. And us personally. So we saw like a posting of the article, and it was like at 10 o'clock at night. And my wife's like, we got to go. I'm like, okay. Cause you know, we're adventurous. I'm like, okay, well that's how far out is it? Right. And we find out that it's 8 hours nonstop. And we have eight kids, very young, ages 14 down to 2. And we woke them up because it was 10 p.m. Let's just go. And the drive through the night, so they're sleeping and not bothering us. They were kind of angry with us. So we decided to sleep and get up in the morning. And 7 o'clock in the morning, we drove there. And we were able to experience everything that was going on before they put Sister Wilhelmina in the glass case. Because something
you were
that,
there before they put her in the
case. So something that we realized
that's
is
so cool.
Well, that's what drove our decision to move so quickly
because
we read that they're gonna put her in the case on Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And so we're like, well, once that happens, no one's going to get close to her.
Yeah.
You know, if they ever open up that glass kind of case, it'll be for scientific investigation. It'll be like one or two people that have access, and it won't be open to the public. Whereas they had the body in the basement to be venerated, to be touched.
I saw photos of people like putting their rosaries on her.
I was able to lay my hands on her leg and her hand. This was before the bishop said, "Don't do this," but it was
incorruptible.
So I was able to like, this is not like skin and bones. Like the pictures sometimes don't depict it very well. She was still very hearty, kind of.
There's flesh.
I mean, there's
you
flesh.
Kind of
you
can
feel
muscle.
It. It was unbelievable. Yes.
And
I was there, and
that's crazy.
It was unbelievable. And here we are, touching our rosaries, touching it. I mean, this habit is incorrupt. I'll be careful to say the church has not come out to say she's incorruptible.
Right.
I don't know if she is or not. I can say I was not. It was 85 degrees in that basement with the doors open, and I was melting. I mean, the fact that it was already a week gone by that she'd been down there. And I couldn't believe how hot it was and how humid it was. And there she is just laying peacefully. Not decomposed. Yeah, no smell. She was not decomposing. It was just, I probably smelled worse than she did, just as a perspective. It was just unbelievable.
That's really
you know,
wild.
I mean, it was just, and this isn't something that I did because of my own faith life. I'm pretty strong in my belief, and I believe in God, and I believe, you know, that miracles can happen. But I did this because I wanted my kids to have something. This is a tangible, ongoing, miraculous event. And it's something that anybody can go see. And something I've always found wondrous is the incorruptibles of the Catholic Church. And I've studied this and I've read about it, but they're all like in Europe. And it's like, like one of those things that how do you tell a teenager, oh yeah, this is happening, but you'll never be able to see it unless you travel, you know, thousands of miles away. And here we are in our backyard.
It's the heart of the country. In the heart of the country. If you think about it, we have the first incorruptible in this country. Right. Yeah. And she's a black nun. I mean, it's pretty amazing. What was the kids' reaction to it?
They were incredibly prayerful and very respectful. So we actually spent the night, and we actually were there Memorial Day when they did the rosary procession and brought her into the chapel for her final resting place. And my kids knelt for hours just praying and being there and being present and listening and watching. And they were amazing. Honestly, I think it really impacted them in a positive way. I think this is going to positively impact a lot of people in the church.
So some might think this is creepy or macabre. You know, there's a corpse, there's a body, and yet the kids didn't get that. You got a spirit of reverence and holiness as a result of this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would say it's important to remember that an incorruptible is not an indestructible, you know, being. There's not some magic force field. This isn't some hocus pocus. It's not magic. It's the incorruptness of organic elements of bacteria and fungi not actually eating away at her body, that she's remaining intact. Her habits remaining intact, despite any other evidence that it shouldn't be. And so there are skeptics out there. They're saying that, you know, her body could be preserved, but they'll do investigations, and all the incorruptibles that are in Europe, you know, most of them happened before there was even modern day embalming practices. And that certainly didn't happen for Sister Wilhelmina based on all the coroner's reports. So,
well, there's no chemical treatment to preserve the body. She was put in a wooden box, really. Yep. You think about that.
Yep.
And she was buried in the ground. I went to the funeral of Father Serafin Michalenko. He was the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina. This was during COVID. So it was a small group of us there, but he had this beautiful, it was just a very humble pine box. That's all. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was embalmed either. Maybe he was. Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, to be able to be put into the ground like that, where it's damp, called Sharpe Maloof, was a great Maronite saint. He was put in the ground the same way, and he was flooded with water, and he was incorrupt. So, I mean,
it's unbelievable.
God does it. It's an amazing phenomenon. Let's go. We'll grab a couple phone calls for you, too, absolutely. If you want to. If you want to get in, maybe you've seen it. I'd love to hear from you. The number's 888-914-9149. Got two Christines in a row here, so let me go to the first one. She's out of Grandview, Missouri. Hi, Christine. Good afternoon.
Hi. It's very nice to talk to you, Drew.
Thanks.
Yes, my younger sister, Stacy, and her daughter, Sarah, we went to witness St. Wilhelmina on Sunday of Pentecost. It was a day before they were going to enclose her. And it was just a very spiritual, moving experience. And they had music of the sisters playing over loudspeaker while you were waiting in line. Yeah. Everyone was very respectful, kind of more quiet, just... I don't know. There's families there with babies. There was old people there in wheelchairs. I couldn't believe I got to go up and actually kneel down before her and pray and touch her. I had all these prayers and things going through my mind before I got to her. And then I kneeled before her, and I was just, everything went out of my head except what I was seeing and touching.
Well, God knows your heart.
Experiencing.
Right? The Lord knows your heart, but I'm sure she's a powerful intercessor. We'll see what the church ultimately rules too, but this is an amazing, amazing sign. Can I ask you a question about Missouri versus Missouri, since you're from there? I never know when I see Missouri come up on the screen how to pronounce it. I don't know.
Actually, I've been living down here 37 years, but I was born and raised in Minnesota.
Ah, okay.
So I always say Missouri, but some people say Missouri. So
I think it has something to do with being west of St. Louis or south of it or so. I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe.
Somebody was explaining to me. Wendy Weiss, who is a former colleague of mine, was from there, and she explained it once, but I can never remember. Hey, Christine, thanks for calling. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. And I would reiterate what you said. I was shocked at the diversity of people, the ages, the ethnicities. And I was also shocked by how young the nuns were of the order.
They
were most of the nuns, I would say, you know, this can't be, I have no verification, but I would guess their average age was in their 30s. I mean, there was a lot of young women there. And it was, I know I shouldn't be shocked by that, but I was, because I just have this kind of impression that nuns are becoming older and older, but this order was alive, and they had novices there, and they were full of joy. They were so full of joy. They kept to themselves. They weren't really available to the public, because they are a very kind of monastic, kind of quiet, contemplative order.
Right.
So they weren't kind of being showboating. They weren't out there talking. They were just being really respectful. And you could see them when they were praying and chanting. And they were beautiful.
You know what I love about the story? And I've got to take a short break here. We'll come back. We'll grab a few more calls. That she founded this abbey at the age of 70 years old. And that in itself is really a tremendous witness. I mean, so many people think, you know, what am I going to do now? I'm 60. I'm 70 years old. How can God use me? You never know. God can use you. Look at the age of some of the great prophets, right? Take a look at this nun. At 70 years of age, God allowed her to found this abbey. And today he's showing his special love for her, as her body is reportedly incorrupt. We're going to take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk more. You can get in 888-914-9149. We're here with Preston Alex. He's our chief financial officer. He actually went down with his family, 12 of them, and personally experienced it. More straight ahead. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Good, come on.
Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Oh, yeah. Put your hand on it. That's how the good works.
That's how the good works. That's how the good works. That's how the good works. That's how he works.
That's always a fun bumper, huh? Welcome back. It is good to be here with you today. If you're just tuning in, talking a little bit about what is, I think, a very visible sign of God's love for us. We'll let the church decide whether this is an authentic phenomenon or not. Incorruptibility is very rare within the Catholic Church, but many great saints, those men and women who lived lives of heroic virtue, are sometimes found to survive the decay of death, which is bizarre, right? It's hard to get your head around. In Kansas City, Missouri, a little town, an oratory actually in Gower, the nuns of the Sisters of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, exhumed their foundress, Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster. And they were not expecting anything but a bunch of bones. She was not embalmed. She was put into a pine, you know, casket. And they decided when they laid her to rest, they were going to take her out and move the body. And they were shocked. One of the sisters, as they took the casket out, noticed there was some damage to the casket. And she was able to peer through a crevice with a flashlight. And she noticed a sock-covered foot. And the clothing, they thought, should have all been decayed by this point in time. So they opened the coffin, did more investigation, and they discovered that her body had been preserved from bodily decay. This is after 4 years of laying in a wooden casket. No chemical treatment to preserve her tissue, yet the body showed no signs of decomposition. My colleague, our chief financial officer, Preston Alex, took his family there and witnessed it. Amazing story. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to go down in the basement with my kids. And, you know, so the biblical story that came to mind was the story where the woman that suffered from bleeding came and just needed to touch the fabric of Christ All she knew was, I just need to touch his fabric and I will be healed. And that was a miraculous moment that she was healed in that scripture verse. And here we are, so many people coming together and just laying our hands on her habit and this beautiful woman and of God. And I got the same sense that like there was the sense of the Holy Spirit in that room and in her life and through her reaching out to every single of the pilgrims there. And now she's, you know, available for anybody to go and witness her incredible legacy.
And I know people are praying. They're praying for miracles. They're praying for healing. They're praying for fertility. And if you've had one of those miracles, feel free to call us 888-914-9149. If you've been there and you're on hold right now, I'll do my very best to get you on. Elizabeth is in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Elizabeth. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
So, yeah, we went. We're a pretty big Catholic family of eight. I know people will be like, why are you wanting more kids whenever you already have six? But because we want a big Catholic family as big as we can.
Amen.
And for some reason, this last time around, we haven't been able to get pregnant. And I've had a lot of pain, like where my ovaries are. I've had pain in my uterus. And I'm like, there's never been a problem. I have had a lot of miscarriages, but I've never had like a problem. And then I started having this pain. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I think I might actually have to go get testing done or something. We've been trying for months and months and months and like not able to get pregnant. And then we went, you can kiss her veil. You know, that's on display. Everybody touches everything to her veil. And when I kissed her veil, I just felt something so overwhelming come over my body.
Wow.
And then we found out that was on Saturday, and we found out this week that we're expecting. Now, we have been praying a novena to Carlo Acutis for twins because we would just love that opportunity. And so, of course, we took that prayer as well there. You know, and so we don't know yet if it's twins, but if it was, how miraculous would that be to be able to be pregnant? All my pain is gone.
Wow.
You know, I don't have any more pain. And so I don't know. I mean, it feels miraculous, you know, and I feel like those miracles happen all the time. You know,
I do too. Let me just tell you about Carlos Acutis too. For those who don't know, he's a 15-year-old Italian boy whose cause is up for beatification, and he was named venerable. I don't think he's beatified yet. When they exhumed him, one report said that his body was incorrupt, believe it or not. Upon further scientific investigation later, they said that that was not the case. But he was known for his incredible devotion to the Eucharist. And I have no doubt that God's working with you, Elizabeth, because you're a witness to life. And Preston, you know, I mean, a family like that, I know you're totally open to life, right? You have a family of eight, right?
I have a family of eight.
You've had miscarriages too?
And it's, you know, it's one of those things that we can witness the beauty of our faith through our openness to life. And I commend you for doing that. Thank you for your witness and openness to having more children. It's one way to keep the church alive.
Amen. Let's go to Elizabeth. Thank you. Brenda in Central Missouri went there. She had a unique experience. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. I was lucky enough to go to Gower also before the bishop said not to touch her body and not to be bringing things to touch to her. So I brought just a handful of stuff, handkerchiefs and rosaries and different items. So, and I just want to touch on what Preston said. When you walked into that basement, there was like a sense of peace immediately. That was like a noticeable difference when you walked into the basement, just the air was different. But so when it was my turn to go up, I went with three other ladies, and I was kneeling down right by her right shoulder, and I laid all my items. My son gave me a crucifix. I was able to lay right over her heart. But I was just kneeling there praying with, you know, various prayer intercessions. And then just it dawned on me like something smelled sweet. And like my nose was literally like a half inch away from her body. And one of the other ladies thought it smelled like roses, but to me it was like florally but sweet. I can't really describe
You know what that's called so often? They call it the odor of sanctity sometimes. Many great saints have had it, and it's not quite roses, not quite flowers, but it's something almost divine. It's a beautiful, beautiful scent. Hey, Brenda, thank you for your call. I'm going to hold it right there because I don't have a whole lot of time. I want to sneak one or two more calls in, but thank you for sharing. Thanks for the call. Michelle in Wilmington, North Carolina, thank you for waiting as well.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. It was it's amazing because I've only met one other black nun. So I'm just like in shock and in awe. And I'm just like, wow, because I think it's speaking I think it speaks volumes to the church as well as everything, because I'm just amazed. I had no idea she was a Black nun.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
That's fantastic, isn't it? I mean, it does speak volumes.
It is.
Well, thank you for your call, too. With the final moment, I want to get Christine in Huntington on as well, because she's been holding, I think, the longest. Hi, Christine.
Hi. How are you, Drew?
I'm great. Thanks for calling. I have about a minute for you, but I'm going to give it to you, okay?
For sure, yeah. So I went out a couple of days after she was exhumed and it hit the news. I have a son who has a disease which is incurable. And when I first learned of the disease, so many people said, oh, ask St. Cherbel for help. So in my research on St. Cherbel, I learned that when his body was exhumed, hundreds of people were cured, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, I need to make that trip. And I couldn't bring my son because he's sick, but I brought a picture. And I got on a plane. I drove out to Gower. Of course, I was, you know, so much anticipation going through the beautiful, serene, rolling hills. But yes, I went through. And like the caller said, I also noticed the beautiful odor, smell, not wow. odor.
So you're not alone. Hey, Christine, I hate to leave it right there, but I have to because I'll get clipped otherwise. Thank you for calling. Thanks for your patience, too. I'm going to take a short pause. If you have a loved one battling addiction or you've gone through suicide, stay with me.